Good morning. So if you have your Bibles this morning, please turn to James chapter 5. James chapter 5. We're going to start in verse 7 this morning. It says this: "Be patient then, brothers and sisters, until the Lord's coming. See how the farmer waits for the land to yield its valuable crop, patiently waiting for the autumn and spring rains. You too, be patient and stand firm, because the Lord's coming is near. Don't grumble against one another, brothers and sisters, or you will be judged. The judge is standing at the door. Brothers and sisters, as an example of patience in the face of suffering, take the prophets who spoke in the name of the Lord. As you know, we count it as blessed those who have persevered. You have heard of Job's perseverance and have seen what the Lord finally brought about. And the Lord is full of compassion and mercy." So there's this creature that stays on the bottom of the water. He's almost like a monster just because he's ugly, right? And he has a really awesome life. He just kind of sits there on the bottom underneath the water, on the floor and on the ground or on the dirt underneath the water, and it just hangs out. Sometimes it'll move over here for a little while, and other times it'll move over here for a little while, and sometimes it'll dig down underneath the dirt, all right? But most of the time it just lays there underneath the water. And so it's got a pretty awesome life, right? Because that's all it does. Once in a while, you know, it'll open its mouth and yawn a little bit and then close back up and just hang out, sit there. Don't really have much of a purpose at all. But something very frustrating happens in this creature's life that is just horrible. It's just the worst thing in the world. So sometimes I told you when it yawns and closes its mouth, something will get in its mouth and it'll get caught like on the tongue of this creature. And man, it's so frustrating for this thing. Like very, very, very frustrating. In fact, it's so frustrating because it tries to spit it out. And the more that it tries to spit it out, the more this thing grows on its tongue. And the more he tries to spit it out and the more it don't come out, he gets more and more frustrated. So he starts working up more and more spit, more and more saliva, trying to just get it out of his mouth. But it don't work until finally it just gives up. Has anybody figured it out yet? The most frustrating thing in an oyster's life is for a piece of sand to get caught on his tongue. And what comes from that piece of sand? Does anybody know? A pearl. Something beautiful, right? So for any of you women who have pretty pearls around your neck, just think that you're wearing an oyster's frustration. But not only that, You're wearing just a wad of spit, pretty much. Yeah. And it's amazing. It's amazing, though, that we put such cost, you know, such a price. We view it so precious from such an accident, right? Something that's so frustrating. That oyster is nothing but spit, and we pay top dollar for it. And, you know, if we read Ephesians chapter 2, verse 10, it tells us that we are God's masterpiece. In the Psalms, it tells us that we are fearfully and wonderfully made. If you read throughout the Bible, it tells us that we were made on purpose and for a purpose. And if we were made on purpose and for a purpose, how much more treasured are we than that accidental pearl that comes about? We were made on purpose and for a purpose. And many of us, we want to know what that purpose is. We're still searching for that purpose. We go through our whole lives and sometimes we take these long trips or we go to other lands to try to find ourselves, I guess is what we call it, you know. Or we take a break out of college or we quit our jobs because we don't know what our purpose is. We need to find what our purpose is. And most of us, we want our purpose right now. Right? Can you remember when you graduated high school, how gung-ho you were? Just, man, I want my purpose. I want to know right now. I want to know my purpose and I want to have success. I want to be rich. I want to retire right now. Right? You remember being like that? We wanted our purpose right now. But the problem is that we want the destination, but we don't want the process that gets there. You see, we want to know our purpose. We want to find our purpose. But it doesn't work like that. You know, it takes time to find our purpose. It takes time to take our talents and work them into a great gift to be used. Sometimes it takes time to find what our talents are. You know, we want the destination, but not the process. We want great success, and God tells us, you know, the worst thing that I can do is give you great success now without giving you the character to stand behind it. So, Kevin was asking me what I wanted for lunch today. I have no idea. I'm not really hungry. I haven't ate anything this morning, and right now, the way my tooth feels, insure is fine for me. Yeah, I don't really care, but man, when every time we talk about food or I talk about cooking, I always think about my meemaw. My meemaw is my grandma. Meemaw and peepaw, all right? And meemaw, when you walk into my meemaw's house, it always smells so good. Oh, it smells so good because she's either cooking or just got finished cooking. You know, she treats my peepaw like a king. She always has. She gets up, she fixes him breakfast every single morning. She fixes him lunch. She fixes him supper. At night, she'll fix popcorn right before they go to bed. And, like, she treats him like four-course meals all the time, man. Just like a king. That's pretty awesome. And it always smells so good when you go into my meemaw's house. And so you go into meemaw's kitchen, and it's like stepping back in time. You know, it's got it's really old kitchen with her doors or her cabinets are hanging off her hinges a little bit. You know, they're crooked. And you go over her stove, and it's got grease splattered up. We're redneck, you know, a lot of fried chicken, fried pork chops, fried everything. So there's grease still splattered up all over everything, you know. And there is a microwave, but the only thing that my meemaw uses her microwave for is to cook sweet tea. She cooks her tea in the microwave. Even the popcorn, she makes it on the stove for Peepaw at night. You know, that's how it is. And but there is something. You go in Meemaw's kitchen and you look underneath her oven, and she has like 7 crock pots. For real, 7 crock pots. And she's got something always going in those things, man. And that's why it smells so good, because, you know, the longer the crock pot, the longer it cooks, the better it smells. You know, all the juices blend together real good. Oh, so awesome, you know. Meemaw cooks with crock pots. And so it's like that in God's kitchen. In God's kitchen, there are no microwaves. There's only crock pots. It's a true story. In God's kitchen, there's no microwaves, there's only crock pots, and that's how He deals with our lives. You know, He don't just put us in the microwave, hit the 1 minute button, and we're ready. Ding, ding. No, it takes a long time. He puts us in the crock pot. He lets us live our lives, and He lets us mature. He lets us develop our talents. He lets us go through, have all these experiences so that at one certain point in time, He can use us, that we're completely ready, you know. And you don't get that from a microwave. You get that from a crock pot. And in God's kitchen, there are no microwaves. There's only crock pots. And if you read throughout the Bible, there's example after example after example of how God uses the crock pot. For instance, Joseph. You know, when we read about Joseph, he has a few short chapters there in the Bible, but man, there's years that spread. It's almost 16 years that go by from the time that he's sold by his brothers to the time that we read that he's second in command. You know, has that great success. Years and years and years go by. Moses, man, we read about Moses, and it's a quick read. It's a very quick read, but what we don't realize is that from the time that he left Pharaoh, the time he left Egypt and went into the desert, you know, the wilderness, it was 40 years. 40 years that it took for him to be developed by God, the talents that he needed, the courage that he needed to be able to go back to Egypt and say, Pharaoh, let my people go. 40 years, he scooped poop. He was a shepherd. King David, King David, from the first time that we read about him in 1 Samuel chapter 2, somewhere in there, where he's playing the lyre for Saul, you know, it's 14, 16 years later before he actually becomes king, you know. And then it's a while after that before he was a successful king that we read about, that mature, wise king that we read about. You know, in God's kitchen, he don't use microwaves. He uses crock pots. And again, over and over again, that's how it is in the Bible. And this is what these verses are telling us. You know, these are commands here that we can use in our lives, no matter our age, no matter what we're going through in our lives. You know, we all have different walks in here, but it's all kind of the same. You know, and that's what James is talking about. He's full of commands. In the whole book of James is full of commands, which is surprising. But in fact, James verse 1, chapter 1, verse 2, I believe. Does anybody know what that says? Count it all joy. That's right. In the face of the various trials that you experience, right? Over and over again, he has commands in the book of James. And here we are in chapter 5, verse 7, and these first two words. Be patient, then, brothers and sisters. Be patient. That's what he's talking about, is while you're in your crock pot, be patient. You know, you don't learn patience from a full bank account. You don't learn patience from everything going just right in your families or everything going just right with your jobs. You don't learn patience when you tell your children to do something, they do it automatically. Oh, that'd be nice a lot, wouldn't it? Right? You don't learn patience from those things. How do you learn patience? You learn patience from that lump on your breast. You learn patience from that time you say, I do, and you're ready. You're ready for the world. You and your husband or you and your wife, you're just ready to conquer it all. You're ready for children right now, and 12 years later, still nothing. And yet, the drug addict has an abortion for the third time. Always a bridesmaid, never a bride. He says, be patient, brothers and sisters. And he's very practical in these verses. You know, he says, look at the farmer. The farmer doesn't just say, in Jesus' name, corn. How rich would we be right now? Don't even have to irrigate it, right? The farmer don't just say, in Jesus' name, wheat. It doesn't work like that. He says, look to the farmer. You know, the farmer doesn't just plant a seed and be done with it. No, day in and day out, the farmer is working. He's sweating over his land. He's working. He's toiling, you know, sometimes bleeding over it. He says, be like the farmer. Look to the farmer. Take him as an example. Don't just sit there and twiddle your thumbs. Whatever you're going through, don't just sit there and feel like the world is on top of you. Don't just sit there and feel sorry for yourself, no matter the sickness that you have in your life, no matter how hard your marriage is right now, no matter how much your kids disobey you. No matter how often your boss treats you worse than everyone else. Don't just sit back and do nothing. He says, be patient. Grieve it. Talk about it. Get off your hinds and do something. And then what does it say in verse 9? It says, don't grumble. Don't grumble. Grumble, grumble, grumble. Complain, complain, complain. Whine, whine, whine. Man, it's just not attractive. Really. It's not cute at all. I mean, do you like being around people that complain all the time? No. Man, don't grumble. Don't complain. Man, older generation, you're supposed to be like having people line up at your door, younger folks, lining up at your door, almost fighting with each other, trying to get to your knowledge. Trying to get to your wisdom, trying to understand your life experiences that you've had so they can learn from it. But a lot of times that's not the case today. Why? It's because grumble, 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 complain, complain, complain. And what are you grumbling, complaining about? The younger generation, most of the time. And, you know, our younger generation, you know, man, Facebook is okay. I like Facebook sometimes, man. But when you look at someone's Facebook and all they're doing is ranting and raving, somebody cut me off at the gas station and I had to blow my horn to get them out of the way, or man, they put tomatoes on my cheeseburger at Burger King, I'm so mad. Man, what? Where does that get you? If you're constantly doing that, what? Where does that get you? Does that help any at all? You know, and not only that younger generation, but there's a generation behind you that is looking up to you. They're looking up to you right now. And so instead of grumbling and complaining about absolutely everything in this world, you know, look on the bright side, because there is one. You know, instead of letting life get you down so much, man, look at the positive things that are going on, because there is much, much good that's happening. We're alive. Hey, I mean, that's a great starting place. You know, it could always be worse. You know, people tell me that, and I've told people that are in the hospital on their deathbed, it could be worse. It could be worse. But don't grumble. Don't complain. You know, and he's saying, look to the saints, or sit with the saints and look to the prophets. That's basically what he's talking about. Sit with each other. Talk about what's going on, you know. Help each other out and look to the prophets for guidance. Don't grumble. The last part of this, these last words that I read, it says, the Lord is full of compassion and mercy. Thank God for that. Could you imagine what it had been like if God wasn't patient with you? Could you imagine what it'd be like if God just sat around and grumbled and complained about everything that you did wrong? I don't think there would be Jesus. The Lord is full of compassion and mercy. Man, that's something positive. You know, we don't have to pay for our sin. You know, all those things that we've done that are just ignorant, Christ has taken it away for us. It's all about perspective too. So I remember when I was little, our organ player, her name's Miss Suzanne, and man, she could play the organ. And I went to church a while back, to my hometown church, and her eyes have gotten so bad, she'll just take her glasses off and close her eyes and just sit there, play away. Don't even flip the pages anymore. She's got it all memorized, you know, but she's still plugging along. But I remember she has a daughter named Molly, and I remember going to her house a whole lot and playing with Molly. And she had the best little Hot Wheels cars that man, they were awesome. And Miss Suzanne, she had this shag carpet, so it made wonderful, like, tunnels and paths that we could do all running. Oh, it was so fun playing with those cars. And I always remember crawling on the floor, and Miss Suzanne, she'd be sitting in her recliner, and she'd have a lamp above her recliner, and she was just working. She was cross-stitching. You ever seen anybody cross-stitching before? I remember thinking, you know, looking up at her, what a mess. Because all these strings were hanging down, different colors, you know. It was just a wad of strings. And it looked like fun, you know. And I remember, God, it was just a mess. And I remember the very first time that she got me up in her lap to see what she was doing, to see it from her side. And it was the most beautiful butterfly that I've ever seen. And oh, it had such vibrant colors in it. And the best part was at the bottom, it said, Brian Edward Barr. She made it for me, right? Oh, it made me feel so good. But you know what? That's what our lives are like. It's all about perspective, because you see, we're down here on earth and we're looking up. And God's cross-stitching, right? I mean, He's working hard. And all we see is just a mess. We see strings hanging down. We see all this mumble-jumbled up. It's just a mess. That's what we see. You know, we see death. We see sickness. We see divorce. We see all these things that are going on. You know, and we cry out to God, God, what are you doing? Why do you have such a mess for? And God, he's on the other side, and it's just beautiful. You know, he's working. Oh, it's just beautiful. He's making a butterfly. And so that's what we need to do. Instead of looking from our perspective, looking up and seeing the mess, or looking around in the world and seeing such hate, such anger, and so many bad things going on, we need to look at it from God's perspective, from what the Scripture tells us to see, and see that God is working. That He's at work, and it's something beautiful, and that we are in the crock pot, and once in a while, He'll take the lid off, and He'll smell us, and sometimes it smells really good, and sometimes He'll challenge us, and He'll stick the fork in us, and you know, and see if our pot roast is really tender, right? Because when it's tender, it's good. Oh boy. That's what God's doing to us. We are in the crock pot now. No matter what our age are, no matter what our experiences are, we're in God's crock pot. And James tells us, no matter what you're doing, no matter what kind of spices or what kind of colors you have on your cross, he's telling you to be patient. He's telling you to be patient right now because God is working. He's telling us don't grumble because people are looking for us. They're looking at us. They need us in this world. He's telling us that the Lord is full of compassion and mercy. So he's saying don't hold on to your past. Don't regret that stuff. You've already lived through it. Jesus has taken it away. Move on. The Lord is full of compassion and mercy. Praise God. Praise God. So the challenge here this morning is this. Look to God. But not just that. Try to put yourself in God's shoes or God's recliner for a little while. And assess yourself. You know, think about the music that you listen to. Think about the television programs that you watch. Think about the words that you say. Think about the people that you are around that are influencing you. Think about those things and think about, how is God using me? How am I allowing myself to be used by God? So we've been sanctified. We've been set apart. And we did that at the moment that we accepted Christ into our lives. That we were immersed. We were sanctified by the Spirit. We're set apart from the rest of the world. Okay? And it's a daily process still. You know, we are still being made perfect. We're going to be made perfect when Christ comes back. You know, that's going to be the day, you know, that our pot roast is going to be completely ready. Woo! But ask yourself, you know, what does my butterfly look like? I know what a blessing it is to have a leader that is older than me in my life. And that was my peepaw. He was my dad. You know, I've told you before, my dad was a scumbag, right? He left us when I was 10 and my brothers that are twins are 5. And man, I was just hopeless and helpless. You know, I had to become dad for my brothers really fast. And I remember there being times that, man, I just felt like I was ready to die. You know, I didn't want to do any of it anymore. And always, Peepaw was there. I mean, he was always there talking about what happened in his life when he grew up. You know, some of the hard times, you know, they couldn't afford to pay the electric bill sometimes. And sometimes he had to go cut the wood, you know, to take care of his family. And it always gave me inspiration to know that somebody else had been through some of the same things that I have. And man, be the person that you needed when you were little to someone else. Does that make sense to you when I say that? Be the person that you needed when you were growing up to someone else. Because if we did that, man, it'd be so much better. You know, then the world wouldn't see the things that it's seeing now. But But we have to be patient and realize that God's working. We can't grumble and complain because it turns people away. We have to share God's love. We have to share His compassion and mercy every day. If you're here this morning and you're outside of Christ, I pray that you come, you know, make that decision, take that first step to accept Him as your Lord and Savior. And if you are still a Christian, if you're struggling in your faith or in whatever's going on, please come and talk to me or Kevin, or I'm sure there's an elder around here that would love to sit down and pray with you and talk with you.
You've been listening to a message presented at Hayes Christian Church. Hayes Christian Church is a non-denominational fellowship in Hayes, Kansas. We are supported by the generosity of our members, attenders, and friends. The financial support we raise goes to projects which further spread the gospel to those who do not yet know Jesus, to local, national, and international missions, and they help to keep these podcasts free. If you'd like to share a monetary gift with us, please visit our webpage at hayeschristianchurch.org and click on the Donate button. Or you may mail your gift to P.O. Box 1111, Hayes, Kansas 67601. If you have questions, comments, or would like more information, we would love to hear from you. Simply go to our webpage and click on the Contact Us form. Thank you for your generosity, and may God bless you as you seek to follow Him.